Seems like no matter what subject any of us start out with, somewhere in there we're placing the love of God, not just a concept. Or you heard somebody else use it in their message, you know. I notice in the messages and different things, it's being talked about more and more. But I can tell by listening. That it's really beginning to take its place. Here. We've been standing and believing for an outpouring that constitutes revival. We're reaching for the highest level of revival there is. We know what he said. He said he was moved by compassion and he healed them all. Well, if I don't make it in my lifetime, which I will, when I stand before him, I'm going to have a testimony. I fought a good fight. And see what compassion is, which he was moved by. So obviously, it's more than a feeling inside. He had compassion for them. Compassion must be some kind of tangible service. I mean, tangible presence. Like you walk in and can say, I feel the compassion in this place. Boy, that's what I'd like the church on this side of the river to go down for. How do you remember that church? Oh, gee. They did walk in compassion. Well, we know this, when Jesus was moved by it, he healed them all. I got a great respect for people that go door to door. I've done it. Great respect for people that make their mind up to go where nobody else goes. Great respect for people that make it a point to feel like they've done something for God. Evangelize somewhere where they know they could be killed at any time. You don't have much more to offer than that. I love those people that'll go door to door, stand on the street corner. Well, Holy Hubert. Holy Hubert, they called him. Some called him. He'd preach off of any set of steps, courthouse, anywhere. He's always getting beat up. Norval knew him. Called him Holy Hubert. Lost his wife, family in a car wreck. He didn't have anything else. So he gave himself just completely over. He'd go preach on college campuses. Hell's Angels place, where Hell's Angels hung out. He'd go and preach. Just preach. He got beat up so many times. And some of the last times it was the Hell's Angels that beat him up. And they beat him so bad that damage brain. And I wrote a letter on him, a teaching letter. And there was somebody out there that knew where he was, which was a rest home. Told Hubert, you know, he met with the president even, my understanding, one time. So we heard about it, and they wrote and told where he was. And so me and Tim jumped on a plane. Flew out to where he was. You know how he talked? He talked from 20 years ago. Nothing in the present. He'd tell about a meeting he had. It was 20 years ago. He had no idea about now. Well, he was in a rest home. They didn't have a lot of room, so they haul him out and leave him in the hallway. Was it right? We told him, look, this man's met with the president. He spent his life preaching. He's got beat up so bad, what he stands for. We don't know what they did about it, but I know I did all I could. So I like it when the messages get around to talking about compassion and the love of God. I'm hearing more and more here from the prayer center. Because you have to remember about it. And this compassion and things, as she keeps growing and we keep operating in it. What did he say about love? There's one thing it never does. I like that. It what?
Never fails.
Still too weak. No, it doesn't. I kind of love that message. I got a kick out of that message this morning when who's that young upcoming start gate kind of guy? Who's that, that keeps making great speeches up here when we? I can't think of his name. Who was that that taught this morning? Oh, Mark. Oh, yes. He linked the love of God in there real well with fasting, but you don't really mind if I leave the fasting off, right? I can just go for the love of God. And Gary, Lord couldn't have brought him to a better place. How many is enjoying getting refreshed in faith? You almost fought confession during our war. You forgot it almost, didn't you, during this war we've been fighting and standing and believing God. I've enjoyed the refreshing. Whew. In fact, I started employing a little bit more just because he brought it all back to my memory. Something jumped on my body and I fought, and I woke up the next day, and there was no sign of it. And then the devil was right there to say, you know, you just got some rest, that's all, when you woke up. And I said, shut up. So tell me, God's not a man that he can lie. He's exalted his word above his name. Therefore, I have what I say. I mean, a God that's exalted His Word above His name. And of all things,
what are you going to give me to use? I need this and I need that and I need that.
No, you need my Word. See? So what did He give you to use? His Word. So I'm really getting excited about how close we're getting. Number one, your willingness and our willingness to preach and teach on the love of God. Daring. Some of the worst things some of you went through for years. Has anybody noticed that things don't quite be as smooth as they were 7 or 8 years ago? Slightly. So here we are in entering into an era that doesn't look too good. There's lots of signs pointing this way and that way, and the signs in the government and all the signs are there for collapse and all of these kind of things. You know, just in the last recession, there was great revival. I mean, churches formed, people are met together and start praying it. I'm just wondering, I need to check back and see if the churches first emptied out. And when it got really bad, they filled back up. Because these days, they've been emptying out, you know. Trials is getting real bad and getting beat up. But here's the good sign that's heading our way. The worse it gets, the more the Holy Spirit is prompting. The teachings on love and revival and power and faith. It isn't just because it's going the good times that, oh, I think, oh, yeah, I can walk in love until what? Somebody says something ugly to you? So people are protesting in ways that you want to win them. Go on, finish your walk, get full of compassion, go find out which of their kids is sick and get them healed and send them home. Wet the wood, you know, throw molasses on it. Coat it with smothering liquid oxygen, smothering fluid. Liquid smothering oxygen fluid. Just pour it all over it. Jump up and down, scream. Let them try first. So before we do this, just one settled thing. Who's going to be God when we come out of this? Huh? Now, of course, when Jesus said what He said, there was no persecution. Nobody had to worry about radical groups that run around killing people. When He said, love your enemies, do good to them, hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you, them slap you on the cheek, turn the other one, take away your money, don't go try to get it back again, and do unto them. The golden rule, do unto them as you would have them do unto you.
Do you think they will?
Not likely. There's one thing I do know. When God said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, maybe they won't. When I first practiced that, I was so discouraged. Every time I'd wake up in the morning, I'd have two extra knives in my back. And then somebody'd come, I have a knife. I'd say, find a place. Wasn't I nice to you last week? Yeah, but you didn't give me enough. Oh. This is what He was really saying, as we said last week. Do unto others as you've had them do unto you. And maybe they won't. But you're treating them like you want to be treated. But maybe they won't. But this is what God has said, but I will. I will. How you're treating them, that's how I'm going to treat you. You meet their need, I'll meet yours. You bandage them up, try to get them well, I'll heal you. How many of you really wanted him to heal you so you could practice more greed? I call that prosperity. Oh, really? Hallelujah. Since the love of God's been increasing, I can't hardly stand it. I slip into areas I can't quite understand yet, and he pulls me back till I get my feet back on the ground. But do you know who those areas are usually about? You. Not sometimes me, but usually you. Well, what is it? What kind is it, area? I'm not quite walking in love enough. But it just slips me over for a minute. And I get a look at you. I don't get to stay there yet. You have no idea what you're worth. You have no idea. Here's the Godhead. You came along. Something happened here. Changed even what he was doing. I catch just a glimpse because it's an area of love. I guess it belongs to God. And I'm not there yet. You have no idea what you're worth. To which of the angels said he, today thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. To the angels, he says, who maketh his spirits. There's the angels, ministering spirits. He created them. He said to Jesus, today I have begotten you. Well, guess what? He's the firstborn of many brethren. If he first, gotta be a second. Gotta be a third. It's gotta be a fourth. I don't know what number you're with. Who cares? Check it when you get there. He didn't look at you and say, I created you. I created you. He'll look at a lot of creation and say, I created you. Created you. Created you. Hey, he come from forever. Do you think he was dormant? What do you think he did forever? And he's going to forever. If you looked at our whole universe, it was a grain of sand on Florida beach, and he went by at the speed of light, he could finish traveling forever at that speed and get to the end of nothing. Somehow when he passed by this grain, he said, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. And you are one of many. The thing he would like to get over to us while we're sojourning over this grain of sand, that you're his family. He's your father. He's your father. He already told me I learned to approach him not based on Christianity. That Christianity is a family. He already told me I learned how to approach him as his family and him my father. I'm going to change. I'm going to change the effectiveness of my believing. Here we got a problem. How much do you think he loves somebody that's not saved, that's still living in a window of time that they can slip through? When we were dead, but alive, didn't he come where we were to bring us where he is? Didn't that mean when we was a sinner, he loved us as much as he does now? He came here to bring me there. So then that must make the sinner a lost sheep of his fold. Don't you think? He loves him much as me, living in great hopes that somehow through you and I there will be a manifestation that will cause that person to come into sonship. Come up here, Dave, Brendan. I'm going to play God. You'll play my daughter so you can turn loose of this sinner's hand. Come over here. Go right over there. All right. You're the lost sheep. You know what that is? Bad. Bad. But she's a born-again daughter. She's been born again. She's not the same person anymore. She's passed from life to death to life, and I'm come pretty close there, yeah. Didn't I? And I'm her father. This planet's going to pass with the fervent heat. Heaven and earth will pass. That time, it'll be emptied out. All the innards of it will be emptied. Everything will be emptied. The great white throne will take place. Judgment. And we go back to the new planet, new earth, but a lot of people are going to go back to something else. You don't even want to talk about it. So there's only two kinds of people on this planet. See, those who have been born again, and they belong to the family of God. Those who have not. So, she belongs to the body of Christ. She's my daughter. I'm not only her father, but I'm God. Yeah. It feels good. All my pain left. First she tried to approach me on all religious concepts. Whoops. I can't ask him nothing. I forgot my ties. Oh my goodness. Well. Oh. Wait a minute, let me burn a candle or something. Maybe those other guys were right that I'm mixed up. I don't know. Well, anyway. Finally, she catches on. Finds out I'm her father. Found out how much I loved her. Her love fringed on supernatural, and it got more and more. Till finally she could see the way I did. See, but before that, hey, I'd like to get this lost sheep over here saved, and you know, you think you and I could work together to get him saved? Okay, what'd you say? You'll give me $100 if I give you $100,000 in return? What? I thought you were going to go reach him. You give me $20 and I $100, and if I got to give you $100, well, I could give you $1,000 and you could give me $1,000,000. Well, you want me, you're going to give me money so that you'll get money. And what are you going to do with it? Mercedes and a new house? And I'm sorry, I'll have to find somebody that'll work with me. What do you think? I died for him. He's a lost sheep with a fold. I love him as much as I do her. Loved him that much when I died for him. What do you think's on my mind? I'll tell you what's on my mind. Listen, I'd like you to go after him. Money's no object. You just tell me what you need. Money's no object. Anything you need, I give it to you. I just want you to go get him born again. So, what are you believing for, $1,000,000 or $2? Go get him. I got plenty. Go talk him into it.
Okay.
Oh boy, he melted. Come on. The price he paid for them. Of course God wants to bless you. Of course. You know, the only reason you're going to give for the lost is for what you're going to get back. Of course. You know what kind of heart he loves? He loves a liberal giving heart, but it's not based on greed. If your heart is genuinely reaching out for these people, you don't have to give a penny. You don't have to do anything. Just ask him. He wants them saved more than you do. We've become a little dispopular in this town. We've become a little bit dispopular. Number one, our standing on coming out from under the law. Do you know, if churches start adopting this truth, they'll probably go broke. What do? We usually get the canny, crafty specialists that are good at receiving offerings. If I want to get rich, I just watch a religious program for about an hour and send them in $1,000, and I'll be filthy rich in about a month. Are you mocking? No. There's times when God will move a certain way, once with the Gentiles, the bail the Jews out. Paul went to the Gentiles. It carried a few purposes. Look, these Gentiles are not so bad. They sent this humongous offering to feed your poor and to lift you back up. Paul, as mighty as he was, he supported himself by making tents. What kind of apostle was he? When he talked about his departure, he says, "I've wronged no man. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." Every person's been giving the grace for your call and the measure of faith that's necessary to believe your call. Because the measure's already been imparted, we have very little excuse for laying down and bawling over doing nothing. That's what he was talking about in Romans 12 when he says, "I speak according to the grace given to me." This is Paul talking. "But you ought not think of yourself more highly, but think soberly according to God as give the measure of faith to every man." Now he was speaking out of his apostolic office. That was the grace God gave him. He says, "So you think I think more highly than I ought out of my office? I didn't call myself and I didn't give it to myself. I was separated by the grace of God. Then it gave me the measure to fulfill it. God forbid I fall up short." That's the measure of faith. Then it goes on to teach through the chapter. God gives to every man grace according to his gifting and calling and the measure that goes with it. I don't have to beg. Promise God will pay you massive amounts of money for the little bit you give. You think I'll ever beg in His name? You think it will ever charlatan you? His name. Do you know how good I was to raise money for me before I ever went to Brazil? Took an offering from the same people that I did. Mine was bigger. I could do that. You're not spiritually dead. I don't have to threaten you with destruction to get you to give. That's why under the law, they wasn't born again yet. Punishment had to be worse than the crime or they wouldn't do it. I don't even get to use my own animals as examples anymore. Somebody else gets to me first. Cain, my timber wolf, helped me the difference between the law and grace. Big gray timber wolf with yellowish eyes could just chew pickets off the fence. If he could go through it, over it, it was his choice. So he'd shop at the neighbor's farm down the street. Seemed to like chickens, judging by the feathers on his mouth. Once in a while he'd eat a goat, I think. We had a little goat on it. A little goat was tied up, and then Cain was chained, and then he would run and stop, and then he started stopping short. Cain, he's that smart, he'd stop short. So the little goat went prancing by like, you know, I'm safe. Yeah, I found his hooves. One day he was tearing the siding off my house. I had to put that aluminum stuff on there, whatever it is, siding. He's tearing my wood siding off the house, just ripping it off. I came out of the house, saw him doing it. I said, Cain. This is days when he was running loose. I said, Cain, aren't you supposed to blow my house down? You big bad wolf. He would take our jacuzzi lid. He loved to drag it off and then chew through till he could get to the white. So he'd just chew our jacuzzi lid, pull it off on the ground and chew it up. He was big. One time he picked Sandy's little boy up. He was this tall by the suspenders. Carried him in the back of the yard and laid him down under a tree and then licked all the chocolate off of him. He was eating a chocolate bar. He was quite the character. So I thought, how am I going to get him to stop with the jacuzzi? Brilliance hit me. I'll get electric wire, pull it in two, cord, pull it in two, and then put a wire on one side of the lip of the jacuzzi and a wire on the other side. So when he bites, he'll bite down on both sides of the wire, and then I'll plug it in. I didn't have to be outside when he stole the jacuzzi lid. I heard the scream in the house. He screamed and ran around the yard about 200 miles an hour, and then he threw himself on his back and kicked for a while and got up. The jacuzzi was never touched again. It was a brutal, brutal example, but had to be made. So, the day came from a combination of complaints. They had to put Cain under law because he didn't have a nature to live with human beings and other animals. He just ate them. He'd get out and terrorize the neighborhood. If you saw how big he was, you'd be afraid. Had to put him under law. Put him on a chain. That God had to do to the Old Testament saints. Because they didn't have a nature like his. Fellowship was limited, like mine was limited with Cain. Had to put him under law. One day I put an ad in the paper, and a redneck that had a wolf that died and had a big range for him to run on. Cain loved kids. Big old yellow eyes was watching me out the window like, any time you can get me out of this car, the joke's over. Was it? God's fellowship with the Old Testament saints was limited. He had to put them under law. He Not us. We're not popular in town. We can prove that tithing passed. It went on with the have to. The law. You know, we can. They'll do a whole teaching on it if you want. Doesn't matter. But it didn't make us too popular in town because it, to us, we're taking away their livelihood. Well, I would rather see them, you know, go ahead and preach that way and keep getting people saved and filled and stuff than not. But that doesn't mean I have to keep you under law. You're free. You're blessed because of what your heart gives, not because we forced you into it. You're going to receive an offering? Yeah, sometime or another. Next year, maybe. Is anybody learning anything? I've been prophesying a little, I think. Yes, I have. Do you like little people? Sometimes better than big ones. I thought so. Hey, how much of this family got blessed? All of you? Then all of you stand up for a minute. Did God do something for you? Was He good? It helped change things, didn't it? Are you glad? How about exceedingly glad? God moved unusually for him. You needed to come by and look at his face. When God moved, that was as much a shock as anything. Why don't the rest of you jump up just for a minute, celebrate with them? I believe their life has changed. I do. I do. I believe it's changed. Hallelujah. Woo. For my love is as deep as the wellsprings of life that flow forward. And the more you understand, the more that you loose me to move on your behalf. For many that think that my love is like this or like that, that's not the pure vein of my love. If you go where I am, then you'll do what I do. For I have an outpouring for you. So continue on this right path. And this will be so grounded on such a foundation that it'll not cease until I return, saith the Lord. But love keeps increasing, and you see people different. You're not a chair that's sitting there full. You're just not. You're just not. But I tell you what, hang on. Revival is more than what I thought it was. If you raise your hands and worship Him a little bit, I'm sure that He's going to take advantage of this slip away. Get all the more set. You may let the admin. Not Rebecca's, desk here. For if you only knew the things I so desire to get past. But love will take care of that. As you journey onward, you'll see a lot of the things that were listed under the category of all things are possible to him that believeth shall indeed take place. And numbered among those things will be a mighty, mighty healing miracle revival. Oh, touch. Love will reach further than anything when faith is its transportation. Now, the reason I brought that cloth over and threw it down is because he may put it this way. He's finding what he needs to move way beyond us. You know he'll meet you where you're at.
Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm not worthy to get my prayers answered.
You need to slap yourself. All you do, tell me, did the prodigal son's father get a big whip and wait for him to finish coming home? No. He ran out after him, met him where he was at on his way home. They walked home together gloriously and had a party. It's the elder son that got upset. Just like he ran to meet him. Just ran to meet him. That's what he'll do to you. You're on your bed in a hospital room. You lift your hands and start worshiping God. Guess what? He'll come where you're at too. You and him. You can walk out of that together. He didn't deny the fact of what he was in. He was just glad he was walking out. Saw him a long distance away and just ran for him. Of course, he's a respecter of persons. He'd just let you fall down on the ground again. And then the elder brother, I've never done anything wrong. I've always obeyed you, and you never killed a fatted calf for me. So he met him where he was at. You know what he said? I can finish it for him. Son, it was meet that we celebrate and we're glad your son, your brother, he was he's lost. My son. He was dead. And he's back. He's alive again. Well, you ain't killed a fatted calf for me. He said, all I've ever had has been yours the whole time. You know what the problem was? He didn't know his own father well enough to know that everything he had was his. I see my lost brother out there. Gee, you have to remember when you go to your father, he's the one that'll run to the field, fetch him. You think You think when he says all I've ever had is yours the whole time, you think he won't supply? You think he doesn't want Japan saved worse than me, and that all he has is mine? I'm not going to beg. I'm a son of God. But I am going to go get Japan. I think if he gives you all he has, he's not going to run out. You're a family. You are a family. Approach him as such. Okay. That was the warm-up. I'm going to get the scriptures out now. Did you have any scriptures? Of course I did. I didn't get far, though. How many knows that was exhorting? For all prophecies he's given for edification, exhortation. Right? Was you prophesying part of the time? Yes, I was. Edification, exhortation. And? Was anybody comforted? If anyone's bored, you're not showing it very well. How many loves the fact that God didn't trust you to an angel? Some of them have went haywire and taught us wrong things. Angels are usually masculine, but they're neither male nor female. They're slightly masculine, usually. In other words, they may wear some kind of robe once in a while or something like that, but not generally. They look kind of more like us. They could have long hair, different cases. But never seen a bald. I don't even know if they could cut their hair. I probably wouldn't. I don't think it would work too good either. Have you ever saw an angel before yourself? No, but I've heard them. I had them sing to me for about 20 days straight. Yeah, you ever hear them sing out loud? I did. The devil can sing really good, you know. He sang really good. You know what song I finally asked him to sing that exposed him? You know what exposed the devil when I asked him to sing a song? They were taking requests. They did. They sang to me for 20 days straight. Got kind of old. Some songs they sing over and over real long. So I'm thinking in my mind, something's not right here. So I finally ended the whole thing by giving requests. I said, can I give a request? I said, sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. And I waited, and it sounded like they waited a long time, like they had to go get a baritone angel from somewhere. It was the longest wait for any I asked him. First, I got the oldest song I could think of when I knew I could do a request. I said, let's all gather at the river, sing that one. They start, let's all gather at the river. Really sounded good. They could sing. Well, one time they wasn't lost, you know. Then when they got done with that, I think I interrupted it. I said, sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. silence, like they ran and found this baritone angel and brought him back. And then I don't know what happened. It took a long time. So suddenly, it just startled me. It started so suddenly and loud. And said,
"You're being on fire."
And I said, "Goodbye. Get out." And they did. And they haven't been back. I was supposed to have you down that path by now. In the garden, at first creation, Adam breathed. And Eve was present. In the animal kingdom, every fruit and green-bearing herb was for meat, and it was so. Even the animals didn't eat each other at that point. Of course, later when it come to the sacrifices and eating, of course, it take a beast in the field after the ark and make sure that you pour its blood out as atoning. It gave its life for you, representing again. But before, I guess death wasn't in any vocabulary. Except in God's warning. We have a nature inside now that can just vaguely begin to possibly measure the little bit of the love he had before the fall. I don't know how Lucifer survived his own fall. I don't know how he manufactured it. Don't know how he got it. Don't know where it come from. See, he was perfect in all his ways till iniquity was found in him. Jesus told his apostles he was a liar from the beginning. That wasn't his beginning. It was ours. He wasn't a liar in his beginning. He's perfect in his ways. Even for the angelic population, the highest cost heaven has ever sustained, ever, was something he needed. Your right to make choices. For the next we came for forever. That's where we're going. I don't want to be stuck with the synthetic person that always says what I programmed them to say. That's not fellowship. That's what love's based on. Gives, takes. After the fall, that love must have been so powerful that even in our fallen state, spiritually dead as a doornail, Oh, don't study Julius Caesar. You don't even want to know that part of history. You wouldn't believe a human being could do that. Hitler. See. Can't imagine what that death nature's capable of. One little village rise up and get bigger than the one over the mountain. They go over and just kill them and take their stuff. That's how it's been. Yet, somehow, one of the strongest motivating forces is left over. You ever listen to that country station? That's about every song's about love. Somebody leaving somebody, betraying somebody. Millionaires lose their millions because somebody tell them they love them and they don't. Still, one of the most powerful things in the world is all our singings about it, just about everything. Makes you wonder what in the world was in the garden. But see, now in your nature, you have that capacity and you let Him nourish it. You're going to give the darkness in this world a lot of problems. Private worship is a conduit. You can't tell Him for 4 or 5 hours how much you love Him. And with that, ending up believing it yourself. Your flesh gets so thin you can see through it like a piece of wax paper. Anyway, it's another teaching, isn't it? What do you think it has to do with? Revival. Revival.